This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Right now, though, we're turning our attention to Indonesia, which has been seeing a surge in COVID-19 cases after the country recorded a 50% rise in the past week, with some cases belonging to the more infectious Delta variant. So the health pandemic there has killed over 53,000 people and infected 1.92 million of its population.
Economically, the country is facing an estimated budget deficit of 6% of its GDP last year due to massive spending on cash aid and economic programs. According to the Finance Ministry data, the government aims to bring the state budget deficit down to below 4.85% of GDP next year and below 3% in 2023. The target stated for this year is 5.7%, down from last year's 6.1%.
So how will this health pandemic affect Indonesia's economic outlook in the months to come and as we head into 2022. Helping us answer that this morning is Jerry Goh, Investment Manager, Asia Equities at Aberdeen Standard Investments. Thanks for joining us this morning, Jerry. So the government saw a 6% GDP deficit last year due to the COVID-19 crisis, and they're aiming to close the gap to below 3% by 2023. Is that enough fiscal space for the government to allocate budget funds?
So I think with respect to this point, right, you're trying to see that the GDP estimate, you know, fiscal deficit estimate is going to be about 4+% next year, and then less than 3% by 2023, as everybody knows. To be honest, this is probably not a very easy task to do, you know, given the prolonged pandemic situation. But I guess the good thing is that there is still positive sentiment. And the reason is because of the rising commodity prices, especially in the coal and the CPO, which has more than doubled in the past 1 year. And for commodities, you know, that is in Indonesia itself, this is a big export output, and it should, you know, be positive for trade balance and export output. On top of that, I think what we also should remember is that the government is also trying to implement new tax measures to boost tax revenue collection, right? So for instance, having that carbon tax, e-commerce tax, plastic tax, etc. And all of these should, you know, in theory, help to reduce, you know, the deficit that we see. So mildly positive sentiment, not that easy in terms of targets, is what I think it will be.
Indonesia is also planning to tax the rich to boost state revenue. Would that amount really be a game changer for the budget, especially, you know, the rich have been transferring money to markets like Singapore?
if you were to look at this, right, so I think there is, you know, similarities versus 2016 tax amnesty, where you've seen that certain taxpayers, they have to, you know, also be allowed to declare assets obtained from undeclared income, and then, you know, pay a relevant of that. So if you were to take pride in what happened in the past, and then to see what is going to happen right now, I think the sentiment on in terms of the enthusiasm is would probably not that high. It's quite complicated. In 2016, when it happened, only about 1.1% of the 2016 GDP of revenues have been collected. So that's not a lot. And there was also expectations of pent-up spending by the rich for big ticket items. But that didn't really happen. Also likely due to the political temperature escalating at that point in time. Will there be a pent-up demand right now for the rich to go out and spend because of this? Probably not as well because of this COVID issue. So that's probably, you know, the problem over here. And it's really, you know, pros and cons. You're not sure. That's that.
So Jerry, with that in mind then, what kind of impact do you see this might have, the raised taxes might have on household spending?
So I think if you were to look at, you know, the tax amnesty, I think that impact probably, you know, we do not know. It's quite muted whether it will go as planned going forward. But if you were to look at, you know, the other initiatives like what I've mentioned earlier, carbon taxation, e-commerce tax, plastics tax, that might, you know, in theory have some impact on household spending. But the question is whether the household spending is spending on, you know, durable goods or essentials. And in this crisis itself, and we've seen this crisis coming over the past 2 years, and data collected is that disbanding for the essential services, essential related, food and beverages, whatsoever, it's still ongoing. And from that perspective, even though, you're going to, in theory, see an impact from the tax to household spending, I think that probably might be, quite muted. So essential spending is still going to carry on. That's what I feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in what other ways can the government help pull the country through this health crisis and the economic recession that is ensuing?
So from this, there are a few initiatives that they are trying to, explore. And I find one of the biggest catalysts to come from, the sovereign wealth fund that they're trying to, secure the funding to. So if the government successfully, secured that $100 billion target and then start to deploy the fund in stages over, I think, the next 1 to 3 years in terms of, infrastructure spending. And then this should probably, trickle down to the impact, to positive impact in the economy. And I think it's going to be huge. That's probably the first point. The second point is really to accelerate the vaccination rollout. And I think this is extremely crucial for the likes of Indonesia to get out this health crisis, right? So the new health minister, I think Pak Budi, he has been doing a great job ever since his becoming the Minister of Health. And they have, based on various sources, but my sources tells me that they have, administered around 30 million vaccines. That's about 10% of the population. And I thought that's tracking really well. So that's probably the second point. And the third point is we mustn't forget, the unicorns, the tech unicorns that are coming to the market, such as GoTo and Bukalapak. These should, boost the foreign direct investments into the country.
Now, I appreciate, Indonesia is a huge country and it's a lot to deal with. And they are still dealing with a surge in COVID-19 cases, the Delta variants, slow vaccination rollout, vaccine hesitancy. How will this further derail its economy?
So from that new variant that is coming out, if we were to look at how the government has been reacting, I think they are trying to take much more active measures before the cases really spike up, and they have done, more drastic measures to contain, population moves. If you were to see the most recent festive celebration post Lebaran, I think the government expected, rise in COVID cases, and they have announced, that partial lockdown situation across different states in Indonesia, and that's before the data, has really came out. So from that perspective, you can see that the government is much more progressive in terms of, trying to nip the situation in the bud, and that helps really.
So let's wrap up with a look at the Jakarta Composite Index, which has only risen around less than 2% this year, underperforming both Singapore and Thailand in the region. Is there a possibility that it will play catch up going forward?
The JCI really has been quite a laggard compared to the rest of, the ASEAN market and, of course, the broader Asia, indices. And that's probably not really surprising. And from the composition of the Jakarta Index itself, you can see that most of the heavyweights are in the traditional banks, some property-related companies. And that probably, is the reason why the index has been flat or probably growing a little bit only for this year itself, and the reason is really because nobody knows where the economy is going to go given COVID. We've not seen we've seen positive data, momentum carrying on from the low base back in January to March, but the uncertainty is still there. We still do not know, for the second half of this year whether this will improve or not. So that's the problem. But with the, IPOs of the unicorns, such as GoTo, Bukalapak coming in, I think that is going to be a game changer, with GoTo suspected to be, taking up at least 9% of the index. We're not sure about that yet, but, having all these tech heavyweights that are more, correlated to the internet economy, which is growing very rapidly in Indonesia, I think that might be, the catalyst that the market is looking for.
Jerry, thanks so much for joining us this morning. That was Jerry Goh, Investment Manager, Asia Equities over at Aberdeen Standard Investments, giving us a picture of how Indonesia is faring under the pandemic.
So just very quickly here, although Indonesia is underperforming countries like Thailand and Singapore, up only 1.6% year-to-date, let's keep in mind that the KLCI is down 3% year-to-date.
Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.